1 Samuel chapter 17. This is probably one of the most well-known stories in the Bible, the story of David and Goliath. It's that classic underdog story, and everybody loves the story of David and Goliath from a kid all the way through. And it's a very well-known story. Probably everybody has heard the term David and Goliath, whether or not they've read it in the Bible or somebody's told them, they've heard that idea. But also, it was a very well-known story in David's day, too. I mean, they sang songs about it when all throughout the kingdom of what David had done. And so we're going to look at this account this morning. We're just going to read the first three verses to begin with. So 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1, it says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah and Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them." Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing upon this time as we open your word. We pray that your Spirit would do a work in our hearts and in our lives. We pray that you would have complete control now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So here's the story as we begin. Saul was the king of Israel, and he was Israel's first king, and he began to consolidate power and to unite all of Israel, and he began to take the land back from the nations that were around, and he started to war against the other nations that were there, one of which was the Philistines. The Philistines would be toward the south in Israel on the coast, in that little pocket of land that they had there. And in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 52, it says that there was sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him unto him. So there's this war against the Philistines. Saul is collecting this army. He's getting the strongest men, the valiant men, pulling them all together to fight against the Philistines. Because there was always been war against the Philistines, and there would continue to be that war. So as we get to 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Philistines have their army, and they're now starting to enter into Israel. They're starting to encroach on Israel's territory there. So Saul takes his men, and they come to the Valley of Elah. And the Valley of Elah was there, and there was a brook that ran through the middle of the valley, and there were, of course, making a valley, there would be the mountains on either side. So here comes Saul with his army, and they camp on one mountain on the one side, on their side of that valley, and the Philistines now are encamped with their army on the mountain on their side of the valley. And that's where this story begins. There's this sort of standoff between these two armies for a period of time. Neither apparently wants to be the first one to go down into the valley to begin this battle. So as this time is happening now, in verse 4, there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. So the Philistines now send out this champion. And this man walks down into the valley, and he challenges the men of Israel and the men of this army. And he does this every day for 40 days. So this is going on for quite some time. They're just camped there on their mountains, and every day Goliath comes down into this valley, and he shouts this challenge. In verse 8, here's what he would say. "He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, 'Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." So Goliath comes down, and he issues this challenge. It was a challenge to the men of Israel, to their courage, to come out and face him. The stakes of this challenge were whoever wins this man versus man competition, this battle, whoever wins that wins the entire thing, right? And the agreement was that whoever side loses, they have to serve that other nation, all right? So there's really high stakes for this battle. And we see their reaction, Saul and all the men of Israel in verse 11, that they're terrified. They run away in dismay from this man. And for good reason, because verse 4 starts to describe who Goliath was. And we're familiar that he's who he is, but it says in the end of verse 4, his height was 6 cubits and a span. Goliath was massive. Now, a cubit is the distance from your elbow to the tip of your middle finger. All right, so you've 6 of those. And that differs, right? If we were to take everybody and compare from your elbow to the tip of your middle finger, it would be different for all of us. We'd have some that were a little bit shorter and some that are a little bit longer. And we don't have recorded the exact measurement in inches or centimeters or whatever of how exactly that was back in their day. So the estimates differ on how tall Goliath was. They started about 9 feet, 9 inches tall and go up to about 11 feet, somewhere in there. I mean, after 8 feet, you go, it's huge, right? He's just a massive man, right? Nine and a half feet tall is a very tall man. So this is who he was walking down there. And you can imagine, you're standing there as a man of Israel in that army, and here comes this man. He goes, who wants to fight me one-on-one? You go, I don't. No, thank you. You know, and that was their reaction. And it goes on to describe in verse 5, he had a helmet of brass upon his head, was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. That's what he was wearing, things that were very heavy, and yet he's got all of this, and he's coming out to fight. And so here he is challenging Israel, but he's not just challenging Israel, he's also challenging their God. And we find at the things that he says later, just his disdain for the God of Israel, that he thought Jehovah was nobody and nobody to be feared, no respect for the God of the Israelites. He thought he was greater than anything they could put out there to fight against him and whatever God they had that would back up that person. So Goliath is here issuing this challenge to all the men. And then we come to verse 12. Now David, it says, the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And all of a sudden we're introduced to David. And David comes on the scene and he decides, well, somebody's got to do this, right? Somebody's got to challenge Goliath. And so he goes out and we're going to skip a bunch in the middle to come back to that. And we're going to go down to verse 40. So here's David. David's going out now into this valley. He's walking down in that valley to fight Goliath. Verse 40, David took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the field, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. David goes out, and he kills Goliath. He takes care of business, and he gets the job done. There's an author named Malcolm Gladwell. He's pretty well-known, probably most well-known for his book, The Outliers, or Outliers, if you've heard of that before. It's a book about people who have found high levels of success in their area of expertise. But he wrote another book titled David and Goliath, and it's about like small businesses and entrepreneurs and how they can fight against larger corporations. But what he says in that book is that David won against Goliath because of his agility and his speed. That David is smaller and more like able to maneuver, and he was more agile and he was faster than Goliath, while Goliath was slower and burdened down with all these things. He talks about how David had the superior technology, right? The sling that was able to attack Goliath from a distance. And he attributes David's victory to the fact that he was faster and more agile and had a better weapon than Goliath. You know, that's what you get, basically, when you take God out of this whole story. You go, well, it must have been the fact that he was just, you know, able to do these things. And he had just had these advantages, and he worked to his strengths and his advantages. And then you read Scripture, and you go, it's not about that. There's a lot of other comparisons we could draw between the two, you know, and find differences between David and Goliath and say, well, maybe that's why David won and why Goliath lost, and strengths and weaknesses. And then you read Scripture, and you go, no. It's because David trusted God. That's why David won. That's what it came down to. It had nothing to do with all of these other things. It came down to the fact that David trusted in God, and God gave him the victory. And David comes down at the very end and he says, listen, people are going to know. When they see this take place, they're going to know that it's not about the sword and the spear. It's about the fact that the battle is the Lord's. David went out there trusting God. And it was his faith in God that gave him the victory. That's the reason David won. And you know, I think this story is so popular because it's so easy to apply to situations in our life. I mean, the application is so obvious in this, right? We are David, and then there's problems in our life that are the Goliaths, right? The struggles that we have, the difficulties, the trials in our life, the tribulations that we go through, and we look at those and go, wow, that's a big problem. All right, or that's something that I know I have to face, whether it's big or not. It's something that I have to address, something that I have to deal with. And so I'm David, and there's Goliath, and I go by faith, and I do all of that. And it's very easy for us to take this story and to apply it. And it's nice to have that ending to this story. It's nice to know that God is able to conquer, that God can overcome, that God is on our side, and that we can make it through all our problems in a way that pleases God. This story is very reassuring for us as believers. It's nice to know that God is for us and that the battle is the Lord's. But what I want to talk about today is the fact that David's battle with Goliath that we just read about, it wasn't the only fight that David had that day. He had already come through, by the time we get to the passage we just read in verse 40, he had already come through an even more important fight that day. And so we're going to call it this morning, the fight before the battle. The fight before the battle. Before you face your jobs and your responsibilities, and before you face the struggles of your life and the difficulties, however that those might appear, before you face all of those battles, there's another fight that takes place. And if you lose the fight, you're going to lose the battle. But if you win the fight, you're going to win the battle. And this fight takes place before we ever go into battle, before we face any of the struggles that we face in our life. And it's a fight over the battle plan. It's a fight over the strategy that we're going to use in the battle, the strategy that we're going to use to face the things that we face in our life. David only ever had one battle plan. And it was a battle plan he had learned from past experience and with the lion and the bear, and he talks about that, these other experiences that he had. But his battle plan was only one thing, and that was, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to put my faith in God. That was the only plan David had going in to face Goliath. And that's the only battle plan we've been given. That's the only battle plan God has given to us. He says, you trust me. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's the only strategy we have. That's the only battle plan God has given to us. You want to win? You go by faith. You trust in God. But every single time before we go into battle, before we face the things that we face, there's a fight that goes on in our hearts and in our minds, of what strategy we're going to put into place, of how we're going to go into battle. And if we go into battle having lost the fight for that battle plan, we're going to lose the battle. And I think a lot of times we don't even realize that this fight takes place. We don't even recognize that it's gone on. Sometimes we breeze right by it and we just kind of head into battle without even considering the fact that we don't have a battle plan or that we don't have the right strategy in place. And if we don't see that this fight happens, if we're not aware of this, then we're going to go into battle prepared to lose, prepared to not have the victory, and will be set up to fail. So what I want to see this morning is what we can learn from David about this fight, about the fight before the battle. First thing we find, if we go back to verse 16 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, is that it's an internal fight. For David, it was a fight that took place in the camp, right? In the camp of Israel. For us, it's an internal fight. Look at verse 16. David is told by his dad to go to the camp where the Israelite army was. He had three of his older brothers were there with Saul in the army, and he's supposed to go to them. So verse 16, the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. So here David is, and he's told by his father to go. And he's told to go specifically to leave the sheep where he was keeping them as their shepherd, and to go to the camp of the Philistines. And there's a lot of drama now that takes place from the moment David sets foot in this camp. And you know, David's just there to deliver food, right? He's like their Uber Eats driver or DoorDash or whatever you want to say, right? I mean, that's what he's there for. You just go and you bring them some food. So he gets there in verse 23. He talks with them, and as he's talking, here comes Goliath. And then verse 24, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Verse 25, the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. So he gets to see this whole spectacle with Goliath, and he gets to see the reaction of the men of Israel. And then they tell him, they're like, hey, have you heard what the king's going to do if anybody goes out and fights this man? Like, we don't want to do it, but if somebody else wants to, you know, the king's going to make him rich. And he'll get to marry the king's daughter. So there's all of that. His father's house will be free in Israel. All these rewards that the king has offered to anyone who would go out and fight with Goliath. So then if we come down to verse 28, as David continues to talk with the men, then in verse 28, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And David said, there's a reason I'm here, okay? Dad sent me. So you take it up with Dad. But Eliab, his brother, is all mad at him for being there. Right, it's that, you know, the older brother be like, why are you here? You're too young, and get out of here. Right, I know you're just proud and you're disobedient, trying to come down and, you know, spy and see what's going on. You're just nosy, basically. But David says, there's a reason that I'm here. So he talks with the men of Israel, and he sees their fear. He gets this, like, anger from his brother saying, you shouldn't be here. And then there's more in verse 33 after David has said, okay, I'll go out and do it. I'll go out and fight. Saul tells him, listen, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And there's all this drama that takes place, and all these people talking to David and really trying to influence David in some way. We've got the men of Israel who are, you know, there's their fear, and that can be very contagious, and their terror, and that can be... And David could have gotten sucked in with that. There was his brother who tells him, you need to just go. Just get out of here. You're not supposed to be here. And then there's Saul who's saying, listen, you're not good enough to do this. And it's like David has all these voices talking to him. in addition to the voice of God telling him that he needs to go and do this and leading him into this. All of these voices are just going on, and we're familiar with that internal struggle, aren't we? Knowing what we're supposed to do, and yet we have these other, like these voices that are trying to convince us. And it could be people who are recommending a course of action and giving us their advice, and just our flesh that says, listen, you do it this way. But then there's the voice of God who says, I just want you to trust me. Just trust me. But our minds and our emotions, our desires and our passions all have an input. They're all speaking to us and all trying to tell us what they think we should do. And this fight, the fight before the battle, it's won or lost in our hearts or in our minds. It's when we basically come to a consensus and say, this is what we're going to do. This is going to be our battle plan. And we can say all the right things outwardly, can't we? We can say, I'm trusting the Lord. Yeah, definitely, I'm just trusting God to do this. And what we say outwardly, well, that can be good, to like have this reaffirmation and even this maybe accountability to others. But if that's not backed up by what we truly believe in our hearts and what we have decided on and settled on in our hearts and in our minds, and it really doesn't matter the words that we are saying or the demeanor that we're presenting to other people, if we have not won the fight in our hearts and in our minds, if we have not settled on what we're going to do and the fact that we are going to trust God, it's a fight that's won internally. It's an internal fight. We also see number two in verse 32. It's a strategic fight. It's a strategic fight. Verse 32, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. So Saul now, as David goes and says, listen, I'll do it. I will go fight against this Philistine. I will go fight Goliath. Saul brings David right to this crossroads when he says, you're not able. You cannot do that. He looks him right in the eye, and looks probably down at David and said, you're not able to do this. You cannot fight this giant. And Saul was clearly indicating to David which direction he thought David should go, which was not down into the valley, right? Any other direction, but down into that valley to fight Goliath. Now, I do give Saul credit, because in just a little bit, he's going to get on board with David and say, okay, let's do this. You go out and you trust the Lord and do this. But initially, Saul looks at David and he says, you can't do it. That's what he wants David to think. That's what he wants David's mindset to be. I cannot do this. And initially, David could have agreed with him. David could have said, I don't know what I was thinking. You're right. I've looked again. I've taken a second look at this whole situation. I've figured out the height difference, the weight difference, the experience difference, and I've changed my mind on that. And David could have. And this is the pessimistic route. This is the discouraged route. This is the hopelessness route. That path, saying, wow, I've looked at what I'm facing. I've looked at the difficulties, and I cannot do that. I can't face that. There's no way I'm going to be able to get through this. There's no way I'm going to be able to get it done. There's no way I can accomplish what needs to be accomplished. It's just not going to work, and I know it's going to turn out to be a complete failure and a complete disaster. And this is the strategy that really the rest of Israel took, to run away. Say, that's the strategy I'm going to pick. I'm not gonna try it. I'm not gonna fight. I'm gonna run away. I'm gonna go the opposite direction. And this is a strategy that's rooted in hopelessness. That there is no hope for us. There's no hope for us to find victory or to overcome. And yet, do you know when I read the Word of God, I find page after page of hope, of the hope that God gives to us. And it's a hope that's founded in Jesus Christ. I mean, we look at the gospel. And the gospel starts out with hopelessness for us, doesn't it? We're in our sin, and there's nothing we can do to get us out of our sin. That sin is condemning us to an eternity in hell. But as soon as Jesus Christ comes on the scene, there is hope. Because we see him crucified for us. We see his blood shed for us. The blood that the Bible says can wash away our sin. that can give us forgiveness. So all the hopelessness that is there just in ourselves, yet we find hope in Jesus Christ. But how many times do we kind of go back and say, well, I can't. I just can't. There's no way, there's no hope in this situation. And that's what Saul was pushing on David. He said, you can't. Thou art not able to go against this Philistine, and David sure could have gone that way. But you know, there's another way David could have gone. When David hears Saul say, thou art not able, David could have said, oh yeah, I can. You better believe I can do this. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? Do you know my prowess? Have you seen me handle sheep? You know, David could have gone the exact opposite direction. And sometimes that's a natural thing to do, right? You hear a little kid say, I can't do this. What do you want to tell him? Yeah, you can. You know, you can do this, right? Just give it a try. Give it a shot. And boy, David could have reacted that way and said, Saul, you don't know who you're talking to. Don't you tell me I can't do this. I can do this. He could have gone out there in self-confidence and all the assurance of who he was and his own greatness, marched down into that valley in pride and said, I can do this. I am able to do this. This is the optimist route. This is the self-confident, self-assured. This is the proud route. And you know, for every big issue that we face that really scares us and that terrifies us, there's like 100 more that we could do with our eyes closed, that we could take care of with our hands tied behind our back and say, it's no big deal. You know how many times I've done this, taken care of this little problem, you know, dealt with this little thing. And there's hundreds of times we can walk into our life saying, I've got this. I have this completely under control. No way this can go wrong. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. But it's those easy battles that really tempt us to skate right through the fight before the battle. Say, I don't even need to think about a strategy. Strategy, I don't, no strategy. I'm just going to wing it. I'm just going to go in and I've done it before. And it's worked out fine. So I don't even need to think about any sort of tactic or strategy. I don't need to consider trusting God. I've got this. I have this all under control. And while the other one was hopelessness, this one's a misplaced hope, where we're trusting in ourselves, trusting in what we're able to do and how we've seen ourselves perform in the past. But you know what Jeremiah 17:5 says? Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Cursed is the man. God is saying, I will not let this prosper. I will not let it prosper when you trust in yourself and you make the flesh his arm whose heart departeth from the Lord. The Lord said, they will not be pleasing to me. You will not be successful if this is how you go into battle with the strategy that I can do it. I can take care of this. I'm able. And it's placing our hope in something that will fail, something that is untrustworthy. And there's these two ways that David could have gone. Right, he could have gone with what Saul said, no, I can't do it. Completely hopeless, I'm not able. Or he could have gone the exact opposite direction and said, oh, I can do it. Full of misplaced hope. But both of those, either of those directions, makes it all about us. Would have made it all about David. And when we take either of those, we're really making it all about us. Either what we can't do or what we can do. But there's a third route. And there's a third way that really takes us off that line of thinking, that exits us from that path. But if we're not paying attention, it's very easy to miss. This summer, we were on vacation up in Maine, and we were leaving Erica's parents' house, going to a campground in Augusta. So leaving Clinton and going to Augusta. So you get on 95. We're going down south on 95, and I'm driving the van, and I'm supposed to take an exit in Augusta. Now, there's two exits, right? I could have taken either of those. I was talking. And I blew right by both of those exits. I had the GPS right there on my phone, you know, right on the dashboard. I had the volume down, which was my mistake, right? So I didn't hear it, and I wasn't paying attention. I went by both of those exits. And I was like, no big deal. Take the next exit and turn around. It was 7 miles to the next exit. I had to go 7 miles down and then 7 miles back. And those were 14 miserable miles. What made it even worse was I had to get on 295 to turn around, and there's a toll. I had to go through a toll because I missed my exits in Augusta. Completely miserable, right? Did not want to have to do that. I was trying to get to a campground and have a great time, but I missed the exit because I was not paying attention. And listen, we will miss this exit if we're not paying attention. We'll either go, I can't do it, or I can do it. David took the exit. He took a different way. And here's what he says. He says in verse 34, David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, moreover, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." You know what David said? He looked at Saul and said, "Listen, God can do this." He didn't say, "I can" or "I can't." He said, "God can. The Lord is able to deliver me." And he said, "I know this because of what has happened in the past." Well, he says, I'm trusting in God to do this. And you know, when Saul, to his credit, when Saul heard that, Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And that was the right response that Saul should have had. But David made the choice to trust in God. And he said, "This battle's not going to be about me. If you make the battle about you, you're going to lose. But if you make this battle about God, there's victory in that. There is success in trusting God." As believers, we have the privilege to take everything in our life and bring it to God. Cast all our care upon Him. We sang the song, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear." What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, and we could add in there how many battles we lose, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Faith makes all of our battles about God, about His power, His wisdom, His strength, His ability, His omniscience, and His nature and His character. That's what faith does. Faith doesn't say it's all about what I can do and what I bring to the table, what I can take into battle. Faith says it's all about the God that I serve and the God that I trust. Psalm 20 in verse 7, David wrote this. He said, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." He said in Psalm 56 in verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And then Jeremiah 17 in verse 7, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." Earlier we read verse 5 where it said, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man." 2 verses later it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who puts his hope in the Lord." And it's a strategic fight. It's a fight about the strategy that we're going to take into battle. What are we going to do? Are we going to go into battle saying, "I can do this. I know I'm able"? Or are we going to run from it saying, I can't do it. There's no way I can do it." Or are we going to say in that fight, the strategy is we trust God. We go into this by faith saying, "God can do this. I know that however this battle looks to me, it's not about me. It is about God." That's the fight before the battle. It's a strategic fight. Also, number three, not only is it a strategic fight, it's also a critical fight. A critical fight. Verse 37, we already read, David makes his choice. He says, "I'm going to trust in the Lord. The Lord that delivered me from the lion and from the bear, He's going to do this. He's going to deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." Saul says, "All right, we're going to do this. Go, and the Lord be with thee." So then we come down, and it's time for the battle. In verse 41, David has already made his decision. The fight before the battle is over, and now it's time for this battle. And he says in verse 41, "The Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." And so Goliath sees David coming with his shepherd's staff and his sling and all of that. And Goliath looks at him and says, "Are you coming to me with staves?" And basically Goliath said, "Is that your strategy? Is that what you've chosen? To come at me with just this shepherd's staff? Like, that is going to do anything against my armor and my shield and my spear and sword and all of that?" And he laughs at David. And Goliath was overconfident because he looked at David and all he saw was what he thought was David's strategy, where he thought David was just going to come at him with his shepherd's staff. And you know, if that's all David had, then Goliath was very right to laugh at him. And you know, if that's all we come into battles with, just with what we've got and who we are, then boy, the enemy has every right to laugh at us and say, that's what you picked. You picked to face your life with that, with just what you have in your hand. But the thing is, verse 45, David said, well, no, that's not my strategy. He says in verse 45, David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. He says, that's your strategy. You picked your strategy. He said, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And he says, you know what you said you'd going to do to me? He says, well, actually, turns out that's what the Lord is going to do to you. End of verse 46, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. David said, the battle is the Lord's. That wasn't a split decision right there by David. That was a decision he made before. That was one that he had won in the fight before the battle, where he had said, we're not going to do this with the things that I have. I'm not going to do this in my strength. I'm not going to run from the battle. David said, we're going to make this the Lord's battle. This is going to be the Lord's battle. We're going to trust in God and go out there and face Goliath, knowing what God is able to do. That battle, David's battle with Goliath, was won the moment he decided to trust in the Lord. The moment he said, my faith is in God to face this, the battle was over. The battle was already won before he even stepped foot into that valley. And you know, our battles are won the moment we choose to trust in the Lord. The moment we say, I'm clinging to God by faith. Despite what I think I can or cannot do, this battle is the Lord's. Whatever it is, big or small, whether we think it's hard or it's going to be easy for us, the moment we say, it's not about me, I'm making this about who God is, I'm trusting God, that's the moment we win the battle. It's in the fight before the battle. It's in the fight when we decide what strategy we're going to have when we walk down into that valley and face whatever is there before us. If David had walked out into that valley saying, I can do this, he was going to lose. If he had walked into that valley saying, I can't do this, he was going to lose. He walked down into that valley saying, the Lord can. This is the Lord's battle. I'm not coming to you with sword or spear. I'm not coming to you even with my staff or a sling or these rocks. He said, I'm coming here in the name of the Lord. That was why David won the battle. So David won the fight before the battle. And I want to ask us, what's our strategy going to be? What's our strategy going to be for tomorrow? There's things we're going to face tomorrow. Some of it we know what it's going to be. Some of it we have no idea. Those little surprise battles that take place throughout the day. And what's our strategy going to be, though? Because we're going to fight. We're going to have a fight before the battle. A fight to decide how we're going to handle this. How we're going to handle our family and our raising our kids. How we're going to handle our jobs. How we're going to handle the responsibilities that we have day by day. How we're going to handle the little inconveniences of life. There's a fight before the battle. Have we decided? What's your decision been? What's your decision been? Has it been, I'm just going to kind of wing it, just going to go through and see what happens, you know, and if I'm able, I'm able. If I'm not, I'm not, whatever. Has that been our plan in the past where we haven't even really thought about it? We just kind of walked into it, walked down into that valley and see what's going to happen. But it needs to be where we understand that there's a fight that takes place. And sometimes it's a fight that takes place days before the battle, where we know it's coming, and there's a struggle in our heart and our mind. How am I gonna take care of this? How am I gonna handle this? Am I gonna trust God, or am I gonna just try and work through this on my own, or am I gonna spend this time in fear? Sometimes it happens days before the battle. Sometimes it's moments. Sometimes something happens, and we have a split second to bow our head or just pray to God and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, help me. And sometimes it happens fast, but there's always a decision that we make, whether we understand it or not. How are we going to fight this? How are we going to handle this battle? Are we going to do it on our own, or are we going to trust in God? And what's our decision going to be? Because the outcome of the battle is determined by the fight. fight before the battle. It hinges on what strategy we choose, what tactic we're going to use as we go into this. If you're really going to be able, and if you're really going to be ready to fight what lies ahead of you, it's going to be because we've decided and we've made a choice that it's not our battle. It's not about who we are. It's not about what we can do. We've made the choice. We've had the fight before the battle. And in that fight, we've not listened to our flesh. We've not listened to the voices in our mind that tells us whatever it wants to tell us. We've listened to God. And God has told us, with me all things are possible. And we've made a choice. In that fight before the battle, we've decided, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And sometimes we've got to fight that over and over and over again. We always end up, Lord, I trust you. I trust that you can give me the victory. And if we win the fight before the battle, God will give us the victory in the battle. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your greatness, for your power and your strength. And Lord, you know what we're going to face tomorrow. You know what we're going to face this afternoon and in this next hour. And Lord, it's going to be a battle in many ways. It's going to be difficult. Lord, even the things that are easy, those are still a battle, because it's not about who we are. It's about who you are. Lord, we want to please you in every single thing. Lord, that's the victory that we seek. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to trust in you. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that has never received you as their Savior, Lord, that they've never seen that you can wash their sins away, that today would be the day they choose to trust in you as their Savior. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to trust in you. Lord, help us to win the fight before the battle. Help us to decide that our strategy is simply to trust you for the victory. So Lord, we pray that you'd work in our hearts now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.